Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
It's time to go inside the front office of the Athletics with the general manager of the A's, David Forst. Here now is the David Forst Show with Chris Townsend.
It is 5 o'clock. It is time for the David Forst Show, which you can hear here on A's Cast and A's Cast Live. How are you? It's been a while.
It has. I got my afternoon caffeine.
Are you ready to rock?
I'm a little worn out, so I need a pick-me-up.
You got that little punch, and it gets you going and through the night?
It does. The manager ran me ragged on the pickleball court early this morning, so I need a little pick-me-up right now.
You've been busy. You've been traveling a lot. So where have you been, and what have you been doing?
I haven't traveled a ton. I was in Boston with the team, which was nice. Took the family back there, but I've been out. I did go see some of the college games towards the end, and, just keeping track of everybody.
So is it weird that, like, years ago it's the June amateur draft,
yeah,
and now it's, like, end of July, you let the College World Series play out, when before, even going back to the very first ever pick, Rick Monday by the Kansas City Athletics was picked during A-State playing at the College World Series. Is that weird for you? Have you guys adjusted?
It's hard to get used to. No, I mean, I don't think it's going to change, so we do need to get used to it. The July timing now, I know, you know, the people at Major League Baseball like to line it up with the All-Star game and market it and make a big deal, and it was great last year. They filled a theater. It was really nice. It's tough on our schedule. Most of the amateur stuff will have been over for, you know, the better part of 6 weeks. Our scouts are, you know, they're out there looking for something to do right now. And then it's hard when you don't get the kids in your system until the end of July and they miss kind of that extended summer program. But it is what it is. It gives us more time to prepare. It gives us more time to overthink things, I'm sure, and read those mock drafts, and things are changing. Do you guys have a mascot here? Is that what we're looking at?
We have a baby kitten that's been hanging around the A's Cast live set on the field here. We got the lucky kitten.
I hope it's got runs in it. So, we'll read those mock drafts. Eric and I will text 10 times a day about different players and, you know, overthink every decision. But at some point we'll finally get to July, 17th, and we'll get to make some picks.
When you started hearing about players – not participating in games,
mm-hmm,
whether it be at the high school level, I'm sure at the college level it's coming. We saw that in football, right? We started seeing guys backing out of bowl games. You're like, you did all of this to play in this bowl game, and now you're not going to play? You like that? You worried about that? What do you think about for the future?
I'm a little worried about it. I mean, we've really only seen sort of isolated cases. There's a high school pitcher in Florida this year who kind of ended his season early, in order to, quote, prepare for the draft. We haven't seen it too much. I don't know that we've seen it at all in college. But obviously football, it's become a thing, and there's no doubt it will start being more prevalent in our game. There's such an emphasis put on the draft and on being healthy for the draft. And you've seen the impact it has on players who don't get to the draft healthy. You know, it's only natural that guys and their representatives, their agents, are going to start, you know, kind of making concessions to make sure that happens.
I've known you for a long time, and the one thing that I do know is you hate losing.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely hate it. And the one thing that – and I talked about this either last night or the night before on the A's Clubhouse show – is that it's just not your DNA, and you don't like this, oh, we got a ton of time. You never feel like that. So just tell the fans how you're not enjoying how this season goes.
No, I said I did. I talked to Matt Kawahara from the Chronicle last week when I was in Boston, and I think the quote was, it's frustrating to watch this. And you know, that I'm not sure that totally sums it up. It just, I empathize with the fans who also want to see a winner out there. And look, everybody is working their butts off. That is the one thing I'm confident of, whether it's Mark and his staff, whether it's the 26 guys who are here at any given time. There's a lot of work going into it. The fact is we've run into some teams that are more talented than we are, and that's frustrating, and it's frustrating not to be able to do anything to get over that hump. And like you said, no one enjoys losing consistently. I will say, like, the wins have been great. Like, you win a game on a getaway day against Boston, and it sort of changes your perception of the whole trip. And you come out here and you get a win on a home game when there's a good crowd here for Father's Day, and it's fun, and it gives you that incentive. You know what you're trying for, but we just haven't gotten there enough.
We know that building the roster was not easy because of the lockout, and it was kind of rushed. You got the team for the first part of the season. How much should we expect changes now coming as we're into June, about to July, seeing some younger guys? What should we expect?
It's a good question. We've made some changes already, obviously. You know, Jonah's here, came up when we were on the road. Nick is here, you know, both guys in the lineup last night and tonight. And I think there will be more changes. I mean, guys have to earn their way here. We're not just going to throw guys out on a big league field to evaluate them if they're not ready and if they haven't put in the work and performed at AAA. So I know there are some other guys at AAA that a lot of fans are saying, hey, why isn't so-and-so here? What's the harm in bringing guy here to see if we're not going to win every night anyways? You guys have to be ready to get here. And look, there are really good examples of players who've gone up and down and up and down and still, you know, gone on to have a lot of success. I mean, Matt Olson is the first one that always comes to mind for me, who, you know, rode the, I think at that point it was Nashville.
The Nashville
to Oakland shuttle five or six times that season. You know, I think it's the Memorial Jerry Blevins shuttle based on his year here. But, you know, ideally, you don't want guys going back and forth. You want them to be ready. You want them to have proven everything they have to a AAA. So, to answer your question, I think there will be more guys we work into the mix here. But we want to do it, we want to do it responsibly, sort of methodically.
You know, everybody talks about Nashville's the new party place, you know, all the different parties that are going there, bachelor parties. Matt Olson may be the only guy going, I hate Nashville. Yeah, I never want to go back there again.
He couldn't wait to get out of there. So no, it's, I enjoyed going there when our team was there. It was a good time. That ballpark's close to downtown, so I understand the parties. But, yeah, if you're a AAA player there, Nashville's the worst place in the world.
What is the key when you evaluate, and I don't even know if there is, but if, you know, what is the key when you're evaluating these young guys down in AAA, they're not so young anymore.
Yeah.
Is he is ready? Yes, let's give him a shot versus saying, not more seasoning.
There's not one thing you can point to, you know, pitchers or position players. I think it's important, you know, that Kotz and Emo are in touch with Fran Reardon, our manager down in Vegas, to get a sense of how a guy's playing, how he's, you know, how his confidence is and performing. I mean, we can see, you know, we can see all the metrics, particularly now they've got StatCast in all the AAA ballparks. So we can see the same numbers we see here in terms of, you know, if a guy is hitting the ball hard but not getting hits, or if a pitcher's ERA is high but he's given up, you know, he's not giving up hard contact. You can see all that stuff. Again, it's sort of a feel thing for making sure a guy sort of stays afloat here and doesn't quote drown in the big leagues, because you don't want guys going through that if they don't have to. You don't want them going back because they didn't succeed here. You know, you want them to at least stay above water when they're here and then progressively get better.
We kept hearing Jonah Bride shows up, you're gonna love him. The more you watch him, you're gonna love him. Just wait, just watch. And the more I watch, and I know even though he comes in a little bit, I keep seeing hits. And last night, I couldn't get enough of that 13-pitch at-bat. I know he grounded out to first.
Yeah.
But he gets that count, and it gets 3-2, and then those last three that he fouls off, and then I'm like, 13-pitch, wore out Marco Gonzalez. That wore him out. And I just thought, that's a grinder. That's a kid who's 2-for-2, third at-bat, not giving up an at-bat. I mean, I love that mentality.
Yeah, and those are some of, like, the sort of unmeasurable or immeasurables that you look at with bringing guys up. And look, Jonah's going to, He's off to a good start. He's got his hits. He's going to struggle. I mean, young players do. He's going to go through an 0 for 15 at some point. But the things that you have already noticed about him are the quality of at-bats, the lack of swing and miss. He went into Fenway Park. He wasn't scared at all. You know, whatever it was, this third or fourth inning out there, he took 105 off the chest.
Broke the chain.
At third, did it?
Yeah, broke his chain,
that.
Yeah.
But those are the things, and Kotz mentioned it to me immediately. He said, hey, any guy who comes in here, takes those at-bats, takes that ball off the chest, like, I want to put him back in the lineup. I want that guy to succeed and to keep going out there and grinding, like you said. And you do, you see things like the 13-pitch at-bat. You see him getting his hits and busting his butt and working hard in early work. So these are some of the things that you look at aside from just the fact, you know, that he's hitting, you know, 360 whatever in AAA to make the decision to bring him here.
So Mark Kotze is so competitive.
I told you, he ran me off the court this morning. I had no chance. Straight sets in pickleball.
So when you're going through a tough time, how much do you have to kind of talk – I don't want to say talk him off the ledge, but, yeah. I mean, because you've been doing this for so long. This is his first year. He's grinding to win every game like he should. That's his job. But, yeah. Like, how much do you have to kind of help him out?
We spend a lot of time talking, nights after games, mornings after games. We do talk a lot and try and, you know, focus on the positives, on the progress, on what was good, what we can take into the next day. You don't want to focus just on the loss every time it happens, because it's not productive. As we get the tractors rolling by here, it's not productive just to think about the loss and what went wrong and what we could have done differently, because it's going to happen. Like, we know that even in the best of seasons, you're going to lose 60 times, and you don't want to harp on it. You don't, as a manager, you don't want to sit there and second guess yourself and rethink. So we've talked a lot and trying to focus on, again, what positives can we take away? What can we learn? What can you impart to the players that they did well that's going to help us win the next night? So we do have a lot of conversations.
How'd you feel about going back to 13 pitchers?
You know, we were there when we got to Atlanta. Like, when we brought up Davidson, we got there. It's fine. It's just sort of the reality. We've managed it with 8 pitchers in the bullpen for however many years now. I think 9 was a little bit of a luxury, but we'll be fine. Emo and Kotz have done a really good job with the pen this year.
Is it just weird how some people just freak out over, like, certain – they just have a hard time getting their arms around
things?
I think
it's just a mindset. Like, we talk a lot here about things you can and cannot control. Like, hey, if that's the rule – let's figure it out. Let's not worry about whether it's a good rule or not a good rule.
And what do you think we should do long term about position players pitching? Because now it's getting to be a lot.
It is. I've seen some of the chatter out there and worried about it. I don't know. I mean, look, we like to have the flexibility to do it in a blowout game because you're playing for the next day and don't want to use an arm. And there are position players who can do it and be somewhat respectable. But ultimately, yeah, there's a chance that it gets a little out of hand and you know, you run into some ugly-looking innings. So I don't know what the answer is, but I know we're doing our best to maintain our chance to win the next day by saving some bullpen arms. But my guess is at some point MLB steps in on that one too.
You have your own Shohei Ohtani and Bethencourt, for God's sakes. He's actually been one of the great stories.
For sure.
And I just started noticing the way he keeps his hands in, driving the ball to right center, really saw it in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Ball going over the wall, ball off the wall. I mean, he can pull it, but just to watch him drive the ball the other way, just, you know, what did you think when you got him, and what are you seeing with him now?
I think Christian's a really good story about, you know, about a positive to take away or about progress to make in season. Like, he clearly worked with Tommy, with Crony, made an adjustment with his hands and his approach. He talked about getting the ball a little bit more out front to drive it. I mean, we saw the high exit velos in spring training, and we saw them early in the season. You think, this guy only has 7 or 8 big league homers? Like, how is that possible considering the way the ball comes off his bat? So, you know, it's a thing that happens over the course of the season. You make adjustments. You work in the cage. I mean, fans don't get to see how much time these guys spend in the cage early, before games, even after games. And for Bethencourt to make that adjustment and then see the results like we did on that road trip is, you know, that's what you're hoping to see out of over the course of a season.
And super athletic behind the dish.
Yeah.
And just kind of like the modern-day player, really has to be a guy that can play multiple spots because you only have so many guys on the bench.
Yeah, no, we need that flexibility. And you saw, you know, you see it sort of everywhere. Like Jonah comes up, he can play third and second. He's played a handful of games in left field. Nick comes up, can play both positions in the middle. I mean, there are so few guys now who you just say, like, hey, here's your spot. You've got it. You're the everyday guy there. Everybody's got to be able to move around. And we've seen it for years and years with Chi. With Pinder and then Canna before him. So it's for Bethancourt to be able to play first, to be sort of a third catcher on the roster, you know, between him and Vogt, they can both back up Murph. So it's really valuable to Cots to have those guys.
So we're about to get into July, which leads us to the trading deadline, mm-hmm. which means you're always going to be players.
Yep.
This time you're going to be a player with people calling about maybe the guy going tonight in Blackburn. We got Frankie Montas. I know you can't talk about calls, but where are we on that cycle? Is it now starting to – are the conversations starting? Is the groundwork starting to be laid?
Yeah, the conversations are starting. They have been for even a couple weeks now, and that's pretty typical. You know, we started out talking about the timing of the draft. That has sort of disrupted the usual flow of the season where July is all about the trade deadline. So because the draft is where it is, you know, it interrupts that. You know, you spend a week and a half just in that draft room focused. It makes it a little harder to have the trade conversations. But they're starting now. You know, everybody likes to say, hey, let's do something early. Let's make a trade early. We're not waiting for the deadline. But then nobody wants to give up something that they feel like they don't have to unless there's a deadline pressing them. So, you know, we know how this game works, whether it's arbitration, the trade deadline, the CBA, like – the deadline is ultimately what helps things get done. So I imagine there'll be a lot of talk for the next 5 weeks, and then there'll be a run-up the last week to that deadline, which is a couple days late now. It's back into August now this year. So we'll have a couple extra days to play around.
I always say on this show I want to get a couple desperate GMs pitting you against each other and guys that need players. I mean, you're a poker player.
Right. It's deal-making 101. You get two parties who, you know, need to outbid each other, and that's how you create the best market, if you are a seller and that's what you're doing.
You can't let Kotze whip you in pickleball. Come on.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Fullerton Hall of Famer, a 17-year major leaguer.
You're the greatness of Harvard, for God's sakes. You're supposed to be able to outsmart the kid from Fullerton.
I'd beaten him a couple times leading up to today, but he stuck it to me pretty good.
Body doesn't fire like it used to, huh?
Really, not in this heat, man. No, I need cooler temperatures.
Good to see you, and right. Hopefully we'll talk to you before the draft, but we know how you guys get. When you guys get towards that draft, it's like wherever this room is, you guys lock yourselves into this dark room. And
yeah,
how many rounds is it this year?
We're going 20.
It's still 20.
Yeah, 20 rounds. That's not changing either. I think we've got a 20-round draft from here to wherever. So we do two rounds in the comps the first night, then 3 through 10 on day 2, and 11 through 20 on day 3.
What happened to 70, or just keep drafting until no one wants to draft
anymore?
We're
going to have to find those guys somewhere else.
Do you like that? Would you rather have 30, 40 rounds, or do you like 20?
40 seem like a lot. 20 seems like maybe not quite enough, so somewhere in between. But, again, we don't control that, so we'll work with what we've got.
Great stuff as always.
All right, thanks, guys.
The David Forrest Show right here on A's Cast Live.
This has been a presentation of the Oakland Athletics.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.